Well, good evening. Glad that you are here. Honored, as always, to have you in as part of our Live at 5 sermon series. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. It is a glorious day. Why? Because, well, plain and simple, it is the Lord's Day. So we are glad to have you along with us here for our Live at 5 sermon series. What I am doing, I don't know why it wouldn't let me post where I originally had this. So, we have it here. We've got audio. I am getting ready to share this to my page. Normally it's the other way around, but I'm going to be sharing it to my page so other people can get it as well. If you want to turn your copy of God's Word to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 3 through 10. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. We will be getting that going here in just a second or two. I mean just a second or two once we hit 5. So, me, live at 5. I can't type and talk and try to preach at the same time. So, make sure you're turned where we're supposed to be. Live at 5. That'll suffice. I can put fancy titles and all that stuff on it later. All right. You ready? Get rid of all of this stuff so I'm not distracted, because I'm already distracted as it is today. What I want us to do tonight is we are going to be studying from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3 through verse 10. So, if you would do me a favor, let's read our lesson text here tonight, and then we will get into our lesson. Sound simple? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In our lesson text, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. And the Beatitudes follow a very simple formula, not really a math, but kind of a math formula. They always start with blessed are, plus some attribute equals the reward. And our point for tonight, blessed are the those that hunger and thirst after righteousness equals what? For they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For the meek, for they shall inherit. For those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, it follows a very simple mathematic formula. And you may be saying, well, that's great, but I've never understood why they're called the Beatitudes. Well, let me just show you this. This is not Justin Reed's opinion. This is just what's happened. Blessed are in the Greek is Markarios. There's a copy of the Bible, a translation, I should say. It's called the Latin Vulgate, usually just called Vulgate, but it's in Latin, happens in the 4th century. When they were translating the Bible, the New Testament being in Greek, when they were translating it from Greek and Aramaic into Latin, Markarios became Beatus. Now, when it was anglicized, which meant we took Latin words and made them into English words, it became Beatitude. So literally, the Beatitudes are the blessed ours. That's the Beatus, and it's often been called here the Manifesto of the Kingdom. So what I want us to do tonight is I want us to examine here the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes specifically, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because Jesus Christ said it Himself, they shall be filled. So join with me here. Let's study God's Word. First, we need to talk about there is a desire. Blessed are those, what's the desire? They hunger and they thirst. Now, we all understand, I feel very confident, whether you're watching this video live or whether you're watching it at a later playback, that everyone that is hearing the sound of my voice as these words are being said, understand what it means to be hungry, right? That's kind of a silly point in a sermon. We all know physical hunger. We get hungry. Now, I wake up in the morning, and from the moment I open my eyes and it is time to wake up, I'm hungry. I am ready to eat breakfast. And then I go to work, and I do a little work here and there, and then I am ready for supper or for lunch. And then I do go back to work, do a little more work, come home, and Sarah and I, maybe she's been cooking something wonderful, or maybe we'll go out and eat. Why? Because I'm hungry again. And then guess what? We get home, and it's been a little while, and I want a little snack before I go to bed. We all know what it means to be physically hungry, but Jesus Christ here, he is using this in the spiritual sense. Go with me to the 6th chapter of John, if you will. Jesus Christ, at the beginning of the 6th chapter of John, he has fed the multitudes. He's fed the 5,000, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Then he's walked on the water, and then he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that Moses gave you not bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. And the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me will I in no more in wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but that of him which sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of these which should be given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, and everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, whose father was Joseph? Don't we know his mother and his father? How is it he says, I came down from heaven? And Jesus answered and said, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that heard and hath learned of me cometh unto the Father. Not that any man which hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, for I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is of my flesh, and I'll give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, Well, how can this man give us his flesh? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and they're dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. See, Christ, he's just fed them physically. Now he's trying to feed them spiritually, but they want to be fed physically again. He said, you're missing the point. But we're familiar with being physically hungry. What about being physically thirsty? You know, I'm thirsty right now, and I just drank something before we began this lesson, but I'll be all right. We all know physical thirst. This too, though, Christ is talking about, it's a physical desire here in John chapter 4, that conversation with the woman at the well at Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. And as this story goes, I'll just paraphrase the rest of this. He finds a woman here who is drawing of the water out of the well. And he said, give me that water. And she does. Well, she doesn't want to at first. She said, I asked for regular water. If you'd really realize what you're at, who you're talking to, I could give you water that you'll never thirst anymore, friends. What happens if we don't eat and drink physically? You know, the body can last longer without food than it can without water, but you need water. You need food. You need nourishment. Physically, if you don't eat, if you don't drink, you know, you'll find people later in life may have had some kind of stuff happen to them, and they just get to the point where they won't eat. Well, you know, unless they turn that around, they've only got so long. They get weak, they get sick, then they die. Well, friends, spiritually speaking, when we don't eat spiritually and when we don't drink spiritually, we get spiritually weak, we get spiritually sick, and then we spiritually die. two examples on this, then we'll move on to our second point here. But go with me back to Luke chapter 15 and the 24th verse. Luke 15, 24, talking about the story of the prodigal son, although the word prodigal's not found in the story, but what he did is the true definition of prodigal. The father says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, is found, they began to be merry." See, he had already counted and said, even though he looked for him every day, he said, when the older brother said, "Why are we rejoicing?" He said, "Because he was dead. He was dead. He was gone." Well, that should say please on that next point instead of pleasure, but you know, sometimes I get ahead of myself typing. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 6, please. 1 Timothy 5, 6. "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Now that could also be men. I mean, here in this passage, what he's talking about, yes. But if we're living in pleasure, we're already dead. Does that mean I can't enjoy anything? No, that's not what he's saying. But those that live a life where all they care about are the physical side, well, they're already dead. See, when Christ says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst," he's using two things that everyone does on a daily basis. Every day, everybody gets hungry and everybody gets thirsty. And every day, everybody should eat. But Christ is talking about it spiritually speaking. So, we move from the desire to the object of that desire, and that would be righteousness. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." That big long word, as we were taught in Bible class growing up. That big long word, righteousness, shall be filled. Well, we see this righteousness simply, I'm just going to put the whole slide up here, we'll work through it together. How does that sound? We learn that righteousness is not of man. Let's run those references real quick. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. Isaiah 64, verse number 6. "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf, our iniquities like wind taking us away." We are an unclean thing. These desires, these ways of man, it's not in himself. Let's see how Christ puts it back to our, right after our lesson text in Matthew 5 and verse number 20. Jesus Christ says, "I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, he's not saying be more self-righteous than they are, but they talk a good talk. You need to be living a better talk than they're talking. This righteousness is not of man. Also, as Paul pens to those in Philippi, let's see his comments in this passage. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 8 through 10. "Yea, doubtless," Paul says, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." See, friends, this righteousness is not of man. Paul says, "I can be righteous. I can do according, thus saith the law." He says, "But I want God's righteousness more." So instead, we see it's from God, by faith, and found in the gospel. But once again, let's run those. You may just want to hold your place, Philippians. We'll come back to chapter 3. But look there, Romans 10, 1 through 4, because this is not Justin Reed's opinion. I guarantee you that. This is thus saith the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Look what the Bible says. "Brethren, my heart's desire for and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of knowledge, but not according, a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." See, it's from God. This righteousness is from God. But notice this, it's by faith. Go back to Philippians 3 and verse 9. "Being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So righteousness is from God by faith. You familiar with Romans 1, 16, 17? Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We say, whoa, what was he talking about? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 17 talks about righteousness, and as those quoting from Habakkuk 2, the righteous faith by faith, that's how they live. So, this righteousness is not of man. Instead, it is from God by faith and found in the gospel. And friends, this must be paramount. It must be the very beginning of the search of things in our lives. That's how Christ puts it in Matthew, the sixth chapter, in the 33rd verse. Matthew 6, 33, where Jesus Christ says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you." We talk about everything in the Sermon on the Mount. He's just finished talking about worrying for food and drink and raiment and shelter and clothing and that like. He says, seek God first, number one, and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added then unto you. Let's also see how John puts it near the end of the New Testament in 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." What? We must be seeking after right. He says, if you're doing righteous deeds, that means you're righteous. The wicked aren't out doing righteous deeds. They're out doing wicked deeds. He says, the righteous are right as they do right. Friends, this must be sought first in our lives. Hungering and thirsting, that's what H&T stands for, so I can make that fit on this slide. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness means to satisfy the daily desire first by knowing God's Word, and then secondly by living it. We must know God's Word, but knowing it alone is not enough. We must put it into practice. We do that by living it. Living it. Do you know God's Word, and are you living it? Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." The desire, hungering and thirsting. The object of their desire, friends, is righteousness. And now we move on to our final point. By satisfying the desire, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Why, Jesus? For they shall be filled. They shall be filled. You know, I told you I had a swig of water before we began our lesson here tonight. I'm thirsty again. When we finish the video, I will get me another drink of water. And in a few minutes, I will want some water again. After worship this morning, I was ready for lunch. Had a wonderful lunch with my parents and with my wife. Do you know what? I'm hungry now. We ate at 12:30. I'm hungry now. See, in life, when we physically hunger and when we physically thirst, we go out to do things to fill that, to quench that desire. And it does for a while, but I tell you what, I have never had a meal so good that I've never wanted to eat again. Even the best fellowship potluck at church we've ever had, I was still hungry a little while later. And I've never had a glass of water so good that I never want to drink again. Or Coke or whatever the drink. Why? Because physically speaking, we need a continual source of nourishment. But I tell you what, when Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," that is a content feeling. That is one that sticks with you. Watch this. The Bible has everything that we need to eat and drink. It provides us milk. Go there to 1 Peter with me, if you will. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. These are not the only verses on this section, by the way. There could be more, but I believe these will suffice. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Because the Bible has everything that we need. Watch this. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You find somebody who's a newborn, and what are they drinking? Milk. Why? It has the nourishments that they need. They're not going to the KFC to get the Colonel's buffet, because there's nothing on that buffet they need as a newborn. They need milk. He says, as newborn babes, as new converts, we might say, you need the sincere milk of the Word. But a man that lives on milk only, well, he's lacking as well. So that's why the Bible also provides our meat. Go with me to Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse. But strong meat, the Hebrew writer says, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, the Hebrew writer has talked about, and Paul talks about it, and Peter talks about it, how you start out on milk, but you need to progress to meat, and then as preachers and as Bible students, we need to go back and study and preach and teach the first principles, the milk, but then you need to go from the milk back to the meat. It's a constant growing, it's a constant gorging, friends, but I want you to note something. We need both. We need both the milk of the Word, and we also need the meat. And I tell you what I love. Oh, I love it. God has given us, you might say, an all-you-can-eat, we'll pause that, an all-you-can-eat spiritual buffet. I like a good buffet from now and then. It's kind of hard to do those in a pandemic, you know, germs and all that stuff. But I do like a good buffet from now and then. But I want you to know this. There is enough challenge in this world before a pandemic that we should constantly desire this spiritual food. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 in the 5th verse. Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except to be reprobate. See, there's enough challenge in this world that makes me need to go back to God's Word, to study, to eat, to grow spiritually. In fact, there in Luke 9:23, Jesus Christ says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily, D-A-I-L-Y, and follow me. That means on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It starts all over on Monday or on Sunday. Every day of the week that ends in a Y. Friends, there's enough challenge in this world to make us constantly desire food. But I also want you to notice something. Go back to the book of Lamentations. Because there is enough, watch this, there is enough teaching in the Bible to last a lifetime. Lamentations 3:22-24, some of my favorite passages. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. We have enough teaching to last a lifetime. Also, 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, I have been studying the Bible for some time, but I know preachers in their 60s, 70s, 80s, I know a 90-year-old preacher who still studies God's Word. You'd think at age 90 you'd have known it all, right? No, no, no. Because you keep studying and you keep learning. I'm amazed at the people say, well, I read Hebrews once. And? Well, I don't need to read again. Are you sure? Did you get everything in Hebrews in one time? Well, they'll say, well, I read the Bible once. That's good. Did you start over? Well, no, I read it. It's like any other book. No, it's not like any other book, friends. If you truly want to satisfy the desire to be filled, you need to put the right stuff in. Because if you put the right stuff in, you get the right stuff out. Here's a question. Will we eat of what God has freely given? Because I have it here in front of me, and no doubt you have. I hope you have God's Word there conveniently located next to you. Outside of where we're at, if you were to turn immediately on your right, it's going to be a bookshelf, and I've got an entire row on that bookshelf of God's Word. different copies, translations, the like. Friends, will we eat of what God has freely given? You have a choice. Tonight, and every day for the rest of your life, well, at every point leading up to today, but you may not have noticed it, so you can either be spiritually healthy or spiritually anorexic. Am I making fun? I'm not making fun of people in the least bit, but I want you to notice this. You can either be spiritually healthy, where you're not lacking for food, or you can be where you haven't eaten in days, weeks, months, or years. You know, we're coming into a season in the year where people will start thinking about church again. And these people are starving. Because, by and large, your Easter Christmas crowd, unless somebody close to them has died, maybe if they've had a new child born, they probably haven't been eating. So you think about it, it's closer from Christmas to Easter than it is from Easter to Christmas. You'll have some people this time of year who are spiritually about to die from a lack of food. We would call them spiritually anorexic. Don't be that way. Friends, God has put an all-you-can-eat buffet in front of you. Eat it every day. Consume the Word of God every day. We have recognized how much we need Christ. I mean, not that I was doubting Christ, but boy, Christ knew what He was talking about, didn't He? We recognize the desire to be spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty. I crave it. We've also seen the great object. We hunger after righteousness, and we've seen a way to satisfy that by learning and applying God's will to our life. We're filled. Jesus Christ said it the best. He's the bread of life. He told the woman at the well there at Sychar, He says, I have the living water. If we were in the church building, I would offer the invitation. It's kind of hard through the video, but watch this passage. Final point here in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Friends, that water of life is only found in Jesus the Christ. No one else. I hope you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. If you're not, you need to start. If there's some way I can help, please reach out, comment, maybe send it in a message. I don't know if that's how you want to do it, but we'd love to assist you spiritually speaking. If I'm not close, maybe put you in contact. I know a lot of good people all over this world. Love to help you some way. And speaking of help, if it could help with you having a copy of these notes, the PowerPoint, you can go through and try to find all the typos, whatever I may have mistyped. My website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources, easiest way to find that, or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible, R-E-E-D, click on the Bible resource page, then on the sermon section, they're alphabetically, so look for hunger and thirst after righteousness. Very quickly, I want to invite you back to a couple of studies coming up. Wednesday night, we will be in Acts 23. Yeah. Acts 23, Paul is waiting in Jerusalem, so if the good Lord wills, permits us to be here through Wednesday night, 6:30 Central Time. We will study God's Word then. Also on Thursday night, my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, we will continue our study in Matthew 22. And then go ahead and invite you back a week from now, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, there in the building at Wood. You'd be our honored guest at any and all services, meetings, classes, whatever. I do hope you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Please share this video so that way others can better be acquainted with God's Word, better be able to study. And I'll leave you very quickly with the way we've ended every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you for watching.